Hello, and welcome to another episode of Muse on Minis, 343, Season 3. I'm one of your hosts, Nigel, and I play Kador.
No, you play Trolls.
No, I play Kador now.
This is Crump, and I play Circle.
Brent, and I currently play Signar.
This is Seabass, and I'm currently playing Circle. Oh, yeah, and Musing and Amusing.
Oh, yep. Yeah. There and we go. That's the liveliest guy we need. All right. So, this week, we can recap a little bit, congratulate Brent for winning yet his eighth qualifier. So he's like now quadruple qualified for War Machine Weekend. Actually, this is your first qualifier, right? It was
first one this season, yeah.
Okay, never
mind.
Like
eighth lifetime, apparently.
I feel like you've won eight this season for some reason. But you won the Bug Eater with Signar.
Yeah, let me mention that in a minute. Bug Eater is a convention in Omaha, Nebraska that's been going for a number of years. They started getting into War Machine about two or three years ago. And what it is it's a convention held in a high school to raise money for the high school's debate team, which is apparently a very competitive one. They used it to travel. I want to say they drew in like 140K players, 30 Age of Sigmar, 25 War Machine. They have a paint competition. If you're in that area, it's a really good con to go to, and it really helps out a bunch of students.
Also, the school setup is amazing. Like, actually, I think if you can organize, like, local events at schools, like in – actually, it's kind of
– slightly hacks.
Yeah, pretty hacks, actually.
Yeah. They also for people who go to a lot of cons and tournaments, they were selling concessions for $1 a can or $1 for a bottle of water. Or lunch one day was $7 for Raising Cane's chicken strips, chips, and a drink, which is a ridiculous deal if you go to enough cons.
It's not Adepticon where your bottle of water is $15.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think I actually paid $5 for a Coke at Adepticon, and it was $1 here.
Yep.
The Fighting Wildcats.
It was so great being in a school and, like, remembering, like, how terrible high school was, though.
I know. It wasn't even my school, and I was having just mad flashbacks. I was just like, oh.
The
like,
walls had in the bathroom had so many layers of paint on them to cover up all of the profanity and, like, dick butts that were drawn on the wall. Like, some of them started bleeding through. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah. It was, oh, high school. It sucked.
So, did we want to comment on the games people played? I know that y'all were down there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh.
Well, let's start from worst to first.
Both went well.
Yeah.
From worst to first.
We'll start from worst to first. We showed up late. Yep. I got the bye. So that was my first round. And my second round was against.
What were you playing?
I played Madrak 1 and Grim 2.
So not Kador.
Not Kador.
Just specifying.
Yeah, yeah. And my first round, I lost. I clocked myself. That's what it was. And I played against a super nice guy who was local to Omaha. And I'm terrible with names because I was also really tired. And I'm just old and soft-brained. So, but he was he was playing High Reclaimer. And I have some experience against High Reclaimer. I just chose to play Storm of the North into it. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to spam attack. And then I knew that with my feet, he can't charge me. So I was going to really slow him down. And so I figured I would just, like, roll him over on scenario. I haven't played in a little while, and so I pressed him hard on scenario, and I went to score at the bottom of two, and I had two full units of troops in the rectangle unit, and then I had a solo on his flag, and then everything else is contested, and I went to score, and he's like, nope, the rectangles are for war beasts. And I was like, oh, and Madrak was like a quarter of an inch out of it, and my beasts were clear on the other side of the table, like, contesting the flag. So I was like, okay.
Ago mindset, you're like, beasts score flags. And
yeah, God, holy crap, that sucked. So I only scored one, and that ended up costing me because my plan was to just, I knew I was going to be bad on time, and I wanted to I had such a game plan for scenario, and I just was so, like, taken off guard by the, God, that just sucks so hard. So anyways, then I was just like, I just want to quit. I'm too rusty and I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then I played again. It was fun. I played against, who is the guy who owns the game store where Chris Collins is from?
Brian Priest.
Brian Priest. That is his name. He was playing Minions, and we had a fun game. I also, on this one, so like at Chicago, we had a lot of sportsmanship conversation about if you should, you know, like what you're obligated to tell people and all that stuff and take backs. And I was pretty preachy, high roady about, you know, I'm such a great guy, and I never get a counter charge because I'll always, and it all holds true. I'm still a great guy, and I'm a better human being than most people. But what I'm actually getting
what is at, happening right now.
Well, what, so I end up winning this game. I end up winning this game because he, at the start of his turn, all he has to do, and I even pointed out, he's like, I don't know if I can kill your caster, because he's like looking at my stats and he's like really stressing out about it. And I'm like, I think if you just kill the battle engine, you go up by 5 and win. So why don't you just do that? And he's like, well, I think the caster assassination is actually more reliable than that, but I'll try both. I'll like try the assassination first, and then I'm going to try to kill the battle engine. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I was thinking you probably should do the other way around.
Yeah.
Because so he has a beast though, where I've knocked his mind out on a gator, and he's like at the beginning of his turn. So I got to remember to heal the beast, and then it can go in. And he forgot to do that, so he like went for the assassination run. Was still camping one fury, and then did a couple other things. Like he moved his caster, then he did like his tentacle monster thingy, bobber, the octopus, and then a bunch of other stuff.
He swamp horror.
Didn't even come close. The swamp horror didn't come close to killing Grimm, it turns out. And so then he's like, well, I better go for scenario. And then went for scenario. He had like 3 gator charges on my battle engine, and then he had the Rassler. And then when he charged with the Rassler, so he like did the 3 gator men, charged with the Rassler, realized his mind was out, and he like put rage on himself. And he had to boost his charge attack to roll 2 dice. And then he missed with both his next attacks or something like that. And then just he came up literally 1 damage short. And I should have at that time, like, it was just, it's not really a win. I should have just been like, just, you've got a fury on your dude. Just heal him. Yeah. Like, it's better to just, but for whatever reason, I was like, like, I thought karmically, I'm like, let's just see if karma before we have to, like, F with the game state. Mm-hmm. So, like, my strategy was, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to lose karmically, and he's going to just, like, 1 dice roll me out anyways. Like, it won't. And then I ended up surviving, and I felt really bad. I'm like, well, crap. Well, why don't we just heal it and redo it? But then that comes off as facetious. You don't really, like, I don't know. It was weird. It was like a sportsmanship, a Nigel's emotional crisis, basically. Like, I wasn't nice enough, and then that was basically, and now
I'm letting down Minnesota,
and then I immediately started flagellating myself over it. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, and that was my whole day. After that, I dropped. I was like, I will drop in shame. Enjoy your strength of schedule.
Well, I mean, that was the last round we played, so
yeah. And we all dropped, actually. Yep. We're like, take that, strength schedules.
Yeah, 5 people went from Iowa, and we all, I think, dropped after 3 rounds and went off.
5 rounds is hard. So, anyways, that was the worst. Now I guess we move on to Nick.
Oh. I'm not going to spend a ton of time getting into my games. I decided to go and just have mostly fun with this. My entire purpose of going to this tournament was that at MomCon, Mayhem was sweet, and they discounted all of their huge bases basically like half off or more, so all Gargantuans were $60. So I finally got a Storm Raptor, and I was super excited to play it, so I did. And I played Chromac with it, and then like 2 Purebloods and Getorix and Agorax, and then the rest of the list you can figure out by points that are left. And then the other list was Tanith with like stuff. And I had played the Tanis list a week or two earlier, like before the con, and I didn't want to play it because I thought I was going to clock if I attempted to. So I just played the Chromac list because it had 12 models. And round 1, unfortunately, got paired against Jake from Des Moines. So that was sweet, going out to Omaha, and then round 1 playing against the guy that I could play at home. But he was playing Thyra. The Sky Raptor, I'm just going to talk about what the Sky Raptor did in all my games, because it's Storm Raptor. I got to keep
Zapdos
calling it the right thing. The bird. basically, I was just sort of testing the thing out, because it's a lot of fun. Like, it's a super fun model, and the model is pretty sweet looking on the scale of, like, most other things in Circle. He had Thyra with a bunch of infantry, which is... means that like my Sky Raptor can Storm Raptor can just focus on the jacks mostly, and due to like disrupting can kind of bully the jacks, which it was able to do in that game because the way the terrain was set up, he had to sort of split his jacks half and half because I split my Gargantuan and Colot, or in my War Beasts half and half. So the Storm Raptor got to basically just poke at a heavy and disrupt it, and then that was actually when I learned that vassals have empower now. I forgot about that, because that hasn't come up in any of the games that I played against a Menoth player, like, ever. So my Storm Raptor got beat up a little bit, but yeah. Ended up winning the game by effectively doing some, like, POW 12 Electro Leaps on Thyra, which kills her pretty easily because she's only armor 14. So, yeah. I don't know. I, before my round, by the way, since I had not played in a long enough time, confirmed with my opponent and with the judge how the scenarios worked. Mm-hmm. I was like, just confirming, rectangles are, like, battle group and battle engines. And then circles are units and caster, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. All right, good. Just didn't want to screw up my shapes. And then the other rounds, the Storm Raptor was not as sweet. Round two, I played against Matt Lust. He was playing Kruger 2 in Bones, because every circle player just takes Bones, except for me, because I wanted to play a Storm Raptor. And you might be thinking to yourself, Crump, you're an idiot. Why would you take a Storm Raptor into Kruger 2, who makes his entire army immune to electricity? And the answer is, I'm an idiot. But it's mostly because Wolds are all Def 10 still. So the Storm Raptor can actually hit them, and then it hits at effectively their armor. So even though it's not making effect of half-ish of its rules, it still can punch Wolds to death really well, because they're pretty squishy, because they have awful defensive stats. Storm Raptor was sad that game, but ended up winning. And then round three, I played against Brent. I don't know how we should do this. He is probably the worst opponent I've ever played in my life.
That guy was a complete and total tool.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I will tell you, when he went up to get the award at the end, literally no one clapped for him.
Wait, what?
Literally no one clapped for that guy when he got his plaque at the end. Everyone else got cheered except him.
I'll say this. I was sitting over at my table playing, and for some reason, everybody knew that I was in, like, the fun bracket, so people were just coming up and telling me, like, random things I didn't need to be involving myself in or whatever. Like, oh, no, I'm not in the middle of the game. Go ahead and tell me the update on Crump's game. Yeah. So, like, they're like Shirley would come by. Jeez, I think the Storm Raptor is really pushing it in Brent's butt. And then... And then Carl Jones would come to me, I think Brent's really pushing it up Nick's ass. And then, like, some other guy would come up to me, I think that Storm Raptor is, like, running the table. And then some other, like, I was like, what is happening right now? I was being slapped on each side of my face repeatedly, basically.
Yeah, no, that was a very sweet game. I got ragey at moments, not at what was happening in the game, but just at, like, trencher models existing.
Yeah.
Like,
just... The Express team's stupid.
I got so, like, frustrated comparing Trench Busters. Like, a Lord of the Feast killed a dog, and then a Trench Buster just, like, fooled the dead to Lord of the Feast. And I'm just like, that model, I just wanted to take him and chuck him across the balcony so badly. I hate you, Lord of the Feast, you pile of garbage. But you're free, so that's fine, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So, Brent, you want to talk about, like, your what you played in your other games and stuff, and...
Yeah, absolutely. So round one, I played. I brought a pair that I would not recommend for Signar players in general, with Siege 2 and Haley 3, and that's because there are some things it just dies horribly to. But it fits into a privateer half-size tournament bag, which means it travels very well. So by contrast, I've been running Haley 3, Nemo 3 lately, and Nemo 3 by itself fits in most of a full-size tournament bag between two Striders and seven cab models. So I didn't want to deal with all that, so I just threw a little couple armies in. Round one, I drew a Legion player who had Animag and another caster, and I was wearing my easy button press here to win Legion shirt because I fully expected to lose to Legion players, probably playing some type of Spray Beast, Carnivians, or Liliths or something.
Sure.
He,
Wait, your shirt's from, like, Mark II, though, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the exact opposite. Now I expect to lose to Legion. They can just press the button to win.
Oh, okay.
He dropped Animag. He won the die roll to go first. He got jammed behind a piece of a building I gave him. between that and another building, and then he proceeded to miss an awful lot of tough checks. I'm sorry, not tough checks, hit rolls. So it he ended up – I went on a scenario, but I think he ended up clocking. He tapped it over with 3 seconds left so I could get the control points. But I just kind of jammed him up, and it was title belt, so siege camped. I killed their left objective and siege camped the right zone and killed everything that came into it. Siege is very, very good at that. Round two, I played a nice gentleman with a Gatsby 3 list. He was overly concerned on assassination. This was spread the net, so he kept 3 slayers back to screen his caster for most of the game.
You were playing siege still?
I dropped Haley 2 or Haley 3 into this one.
Okay.
His second list was terrifying for siege. I basically took off 2 or 3 slayers a turn and ground out a solid scenario win, 6-1 or 5-0. I know my last turn I camped both flags and my zone, and we discussed it afterwards, and he thought his better decision, he asked if he should just ran everything forward, and I told him that would have been absolutely terrifying for me. This is the second game in a row where I went second, having lost the dice roll, proving that plus one is fair and balanced.
Mm-hmm.
I drew into Nick round 3.
Yeah, we both had plus one, so you can't complain about it.
We both had plus one.
Boom.
I dropped Siege 2 because his second list was, I thought, could deal with Haley. And his first list, I was worried, could deal with Haley. From my perspective, Nick gave me – well, Nick didn't give me anything. Let me clarify. Nick put Pure Bloods behind – one behind a wall – and another Pure Blood on the other side, and I gambled on my first turn and happened to roll the fair and balanced crit knockdown Grievous.
Yep.
And then realized I was probably going to feat that turn to take a Pure Blood off the board. What I wasn't counting on was just how good his counterpunch was going to be, which killed. So I feated and used my commandos to shoot a Pure Blood off the board. Yeah. And on the left side, Grievous a Pure Blood and knocked out a column. The unfortunate reality is it was the wrong column.
Yep, it was
because
body.
It turns out you don't need body to auto tough trenchers. Nick, I think you killed 15 trenchers on the right when all was said and done.
Yeah, something like that. Like
it was some ridiculous number.
When you decided to like feat and kill the Pure Blood, I was like, yeah, well, this will suck. This Pure Blood is like probably dead. But at least I don't have to worry about this feat for the rest of the game, and I can probably kill a lot of stuff in response, which I was able to do. So Getterix warping for Murderous and having Overtake with Cromac will just, like, kill 6 dudes.
Yeah.
Cromac himself, I think, killed 2 of them. And then the Storm Raptor, the other Pure Blood, was able to, like, charge and spray one of the 2 Trencher Express teams and get rid of it. And then the Storm Raptor killed the couple of dudes, I think, like a handful of dudes. But yeah, that list, I think, like, I honestly picked the list just literally because I wanted to keep playing it. Like, I wanted to play the Storm Raptor, and I just wanted to see, like, does my theory machine of, like, taking all of these heavies that are really good at clearing infantry still hold? And I think it does. Like, that's why I was mostly excited about our matchup, was you had a ton of infantry that were, like, really high quality and could hit, like, trucks and hit fairly accurately because they're, like, Mat 7 or, you know, whatever. Or 8 with Finn. But, yeah. Anyway, I was able to kill a lot of stuff in response. And then feat defensively because I didn't need +2 strength against you because you didn't have, you know, you only had 2 heavies and I don't need the feat to do that effectively. So, but.
And then we just peace traded back and forth. I was able to leverage some ridiculous dice rolls.
Yep.
I think every commando hit, which wasn't super unusual. The one in the front was like a 60% chance. The one in the back, I mean, by every commando, I'm getting like 2 or 3 on his caster.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they were hitting. It's that they were rolling at dice -6, 8 and 9 damage apiece.
Yep. So those got transferred to a Gorax. So, yeah.
And since Nick had 13 models in his army and was currently down to 4.
Something like that.
Now, let me put this in perspective. A Druid Wilder on 1 flag, a Storm Raptor in the middle, Chromac and like somebody else to contest. So he was running out of transfer targets, and I was just able to score zones until my dice just continued exploding.
Yeah, I was all of my major mistakes came from just knowledge of the game having changed that I just was like not aware of. So like I got Getarix killed because like Tremor is completely different than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I put like a Shifting Stone sort of close to him, and then the Ironclad Tremored that, and instead of making an attack roll against every model like in the melee range, it's just like center an AoE on this and everything gets knocked down. I was like, oh.
Mm.
Oh, okay, so this Shifting Stone could have just gone like an inch to the right and like nothing happens, and then like Getarix is actually probably pretty problematic for you to deal with because he was armor 21.
Well, if he hits with the charge attack, he still knocks him down, right?
Correct.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I just boost the charge. I mean, I have to hit a boosted 7.
Yeah.
I probably puppet master that one. But it was a good back and forth. There were some things that Siege 2 had up his sleeve that the spectators were commenting on how fair and balanced it was.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, they were saying it wasn't at all. Siege can just run 15 inches to get out of town if he needs to, for instance.
Yep. Yeah. I don't really hate that, to be honest. I feel like as a Sorcia 1 player, I don't feel like that's that big a deal.
I thought I was going to have one more turn in our match. Like, I was expecting one more turn because Brent was starting to get up on scenario, as he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the math was such that it was like, I should have one more turn. But then my objective got exploded by Holt. Like, no Ayana. She died to an Electro Leap.
Yeah.
Just Holt was just like, good douche, and then left it at three boxes, and then Triumph was like, boop.
Holt did 5 on the charge?
Yeah, something. He himself did 12 damage to the objective.
Mm.
And to put this in perspective,
just like, what the?
Holt did 5 with his PAL 9 gunblade.
Yeah, it was pretty.
At dice minus 9.
Yeah.
It was like, this objective, it no longer exists.
Yeah, in the shots and all that, it was just like, well, all right, I lost this game.
Your dice also decided you didn't want to kill Triumph, so you didn't.
Yep.
Yeah,
I had to spend like 3 attacks on Garrity when it should have just been 1. Like Chromac charged Garrity and then whiffed 3 times or 2 or 3 times, and then
I think you missed an attack on Triumph.
Yes,
as
also
well.
That.
And so you did like 8 damage to him.
Yep.
With Chromac.
Mad 8 casters are not very good, just saying. They'll miss a lot. My other main mistake was, I mentioned to you at the end of the game, my Storm Raptor should have just, like, sacrificed one of my own models for the greater good. What was it? Why was I gonna kill that Trencher and then Electro Leap to my chick? What was the reason for that? Anyway, whatever. I was gonna, like, kill a guy who was, like, contesting. Oh, that was it. Derp, I'm an idiot. Okay. He literally only had, like, 3 Trencher models in the zone that Siege was in. So I was like, cool. And, like, the Druid Wilder went to stab one of the models and missed. And instead, I didn't want to have the Druid Wilder die because she was on the flag. That's also in the zone. But I should have bit the bullet and just shot the Trencher that she was, like, with and just killed the 2 of them and just called it a day, because then I can clear the zone most likely, barring tough checks. And then it's a Storm Raptor in a zone with just Siege in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
So then the scenario starts, like, I start losing less quickly.
Yeah.
Because then there's literally nothing on the table on, like, that side that will be, like, the Storm Raptor just holds that zone.
Yeah.
I mean, Siege could go punch it, I guess, but that might end out hilarious one way or another. But he hits pretty hard. I mean, he's, like, Palpal Strength 15 with Fury, so, but.
Yeah.
He'd be taking POW 12s every time he punches the Storm Raptor. Which I think is like dice off 4, so that's kind of like
dice off 6.
He's armor 18.
Well, yeah, he's in a shock trooper outfit.
Yeah,
he's a space marine.
Those are arm 16, Nigel.
What, shock troopers? They're 17, bro.
Oh, okay, but yeah,
it
was a sweet game. So
I had a lot of fun, and then my next round I played a gentleman from KC named Merle Mapes. He had a
destroyer of Josh, by the way.
Yeah. He had a Braticus list that I thought was a pretty good matchup for Haley 3. He had a Balder 1 list that he'd been playing all day. I was pretty sure he was going to drop Balder 1, and I was pretty sure Haley 3 could deal with that. And then he dropped, I won the die roll to go first. He dropped Baldur 1. I moved up. He moved Tharn and Feated, and it turns out when you're hitting on sixes with rerolls and forcing tough checks on sevens with rerolls, you kill an awful lot of Tharn.
Mm. What were the rerolls coming from?
Even at five wounds apiece. So the Trencher Long Gunners have rerolls to hit and rerolls to wound. His unit leader lived, and Ghostwalk counters his feet pretty hard. So I took off basically that side, and then the next turn I completely cleared off that side and just started scoring.
What was his other list?
Baldur 1, 3 Wold Wardens, 2 Wold Guard, 3 Wold Wardens, 2 of the Ram Hands, 2 of the Watchers, 3 of the Shapers, 2 of the Shifting Stones, 2 of the Black Clad Wayfarers.
Yeah, so Baldur 1 and Bones.
No, his other list was Bradagus.
Oh, Bradagus. With that. Oh, okay.
Baldur 1 in
Tharn
theme with Gedrix, Gorax, Double Ravagers, Double Bloodweavers.
Yeah, yeah. Got it. Just Tharn. The list basically builds itself.
Yeah. I did discuss it with him afterwards. The lack of a ranged element at all, even lacking Javelin Girls, meant that I could go much further up turn one than I normally can. Mm-hmm. So I was able to run all of the Long Gunners into, if you're in the zone, I can shoot you position.
Yeah. Ugh. I wonder why I didn't take Bradagus, but eh.
And then round five, I drew Carl Jones with Crix, and he was already qualified, and he decided he would rather go home to get 2 hours earlier.
Yeah, it was a long day because we started
late. It was
late
a long day.
Because of us jerks from Des Moines. So
it was probably 7:30 at that point.
Holy crap.
And they had a 3-hour drive back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why when
it was
like
7 or 7:30.
When Josh and I lost in that same round, we were like, all right, let's go home. Like, just because it was already like 7 o'clock or six, yeah, something like that. So,
but it was a good event. I got super lucky on matches, dodged everything I needed to dodge. So,
yeah. Congrats on the win, the qualifying, and all the sweet stuff.
And next up is Midwest Melee Adventures Madness. Whatever Gateway Open is calling itself this year.
Tournament.
Midwest Miniature Madness 2018.
Yeah.
June 22nd to June 24th at the Gateway Center in Collinsville, Illinois.
It actually is just
I would like to mention this one. They will have Warma Hordes, Infinity, Guild Ball 40K, and Age of Sigmar.
Whoa. Infinity. When is this?
One moment.
I mean, War Machine.
I will tell you.
When is this?
June 22nd to 24th. The Infinity turnout last year was actually pretty good. They are doing a Friday and Saturday Masters Heats. Top four go to Sunday. And then on Infinity, they are doing
ITS stuff, probably, like just basic
300-point ITS on Saturday.
That's it? Oh, wait, but I can qualify on Friday for Masters, and then Saturday play Infinity, and then Sunday play Masters.
There you go. Does anyone play Guild Ball?
Yeah. What are we talking about now?
The tournament. What has replaced Daikon? No. Yeah, Daikon.
So Guild Ball has a Homelands Cup event on Friday and a Mobile Cup qualifier. If you're familiar with the Mobile event, it's the regional cup
is
in Missouri.
Midwest Melee?
No, yes, it's Midwest Miniature Madness.
Midwest Miniature Madness.
Yep.
And 40K has a 2,000-point IGC event on Saturday.
God, I kind of want to go, though. Just qualify for Masters Friday, play Infinity Saturday.
Yeah.
It'll be the best weekend ever.
It would be pretty sweet. And you get to see Stu.
Yeah, Stu's pretty sweet.
You do get to hang out with Stu. You get to eat sushi with AK.
Yep.
And presumably both of you guys as well.
Yep.
Not the sushi part, just the hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe the sushi part, I guess.
There is a no-theme steamroller on Saturday.
Whoa, what?
Yep.
I think I might play in that.
Oh, my God.
Over,
I'm just like, yeah.
Over Infinity. I might do that.
I would pack both. Carl tried that at War Machine Weekend, and I don't think they had 8 people.
Mm. People love them themes. People love that OP crap. Free stuff.
Yeah.
Your lists just don't come together the same unless you're playing Retribution.
Or Circle.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Scott, are you going to that? The weekend?
Yeah, I'm checking with Tim to see if there's a block of hotel rooms or something open.
The tool man Taylor?
I'd like to.
Oh, Simpson.
Yeah, Tim Simpson. I'm sorry. yeah, I'm checking to see if there's some rooms or something open.
I forgot.
I was thinking about one.
I forgot Tim Simpson existed. I love you, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't
seen
him in so long.
Mm-hmm.
What else is coming up? Lock and Load is coming up the same weekend as Midwest Melee. Miniature Madness.
Can we still just call it Daikon? Cause like,
That's what we should call it. We should just call it Daikon. Yeah. The week of the July 7th, there is a qualifier in Atlanta, but I believe the next local one to us is Springfield.
Missouri? Illinois?
Springfield, Missouri.
Okay.
Springfield, Missouri's qualifier is the July 14th. I don't know how far that is for y'all. I think
it's
6 hours.
Seven. Yeah.
If you guys want to, you're more than welcome to crash at my place when you come down for that.
Mayhaps. Mayhaps. God, I do want to play the Storm Raptor more. It's so fun. Like, yeah.
Yeah. What's that?
It is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my big hot takes is that trolls are trash, and I'm done. I'm done. I'm moving them back onto Kador where the power is.
Yeah, mine is.
Whoa. Stop.
What?
No, I can't stop. I'm out.
One more time.
Trolls is trash. Kador's good.
So
I love that.
How are trolls trash? Stop. I'll stop. I've sat here. I've listened to you guys talk about your battle reports. I've listened to you guys talk about everything else. Oh, that's really great. I want to know. Why? No. Why are trolls trash?
Wait, can I tell you the story? The thing you were saying in the car, right?
Yeah.
Which is every time we go to a tournament, Nigel hasn't played War Machine in like 4 months, and he like wants to play Kador, but he doesn't want to like get the models together and put them in the bag, so he just takes his trolls because it's easy, and then loses and is like, "Yep, this is garbage. I'm back on Kador."
Yep. And then, like, the day before the tournament, I'd be like, oh, crap, I got to get my models in the bag. Trolls! Because it's just less models to throw in the bag. And it's always a mistake. They're
So, fun fact.
Yeah.
Priest is decided that...
He's getting into trolls.
Yeah, he's getting into trolls because...
Wait, Nick Priest?
Brian Priest.
No, Brian Priest.
Oh, God,
because minions can't deal with cricks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to have a great time. Also, minions, in a lot of ways, especially the way he plays them with Maylock, is probably a lot similar to trolls. Here's why I hate trolls, is medium bases. Medium bases are miserable when it's your whole army and you're playing exactly the same amount of models as like Brent's playing with trenchers. And it's like they all have 8-inch guns. And so at medium base, at 40 mil models, the unit is so wide in formation that guys on the left end can't actually shoot the same targets as guys on the right end. Like, they can't help each other. So you're almost in this, like, bizarre... It's just awful. And, like, that just it drags on you every game. Like, your footprint on the table is so big. And, like, it frustrates opponents because scenario-wise, you do get to hog more table. But ultimately, I would rather... I'm a power-to-point player. I want to collapse down on specific targets and punish people in very specific areas and then be evasive because the smaller your footprint is... farther apart from each other, the more compartmentalized you can be on a table, the more defensively you're playing while also being offensive. You're trying to scalp things and then not give up whole swaths of crap. With trolls, it's just this big mud pit of garbage. This is like, bleh. And if anybody, you know, just it's just miserable. And then also your guys are in the way. I had like my Creel Company list. Sorry, not Creel Company.
Northkin.
It is Creel Company. My Creel Company list had those pig lookouts, and they were so miserable because they were trapped. They were basically getting Knight of the Roxbury between my Northkin Raiders and my Highwaymen behind them, and they couldn't get out between the two. I was, like, so irritated. It's just like, you know, Madrak 1 kind of solves all their problems, and, like, Grim 2. Also, Digny's being cratered also hurt because Grim 2 is normally sort of like my go-to, like, oh, I don't really care about armor, and Digmies are a huge part of that. And they're just kind of trash now, so I'm like, I'm just going to take Northkin Raiders instead. They're not as good as Digmies used to be, like, not even close. And so Yeah. It just, I like basically choked on Maylock. It actually was like a pretty good game. Like it was even without him accidentally forgetting to heal. That was a lot closer. Like it played out better than I thought it would, but man, was I miserable. And also just everything being out of position, no way to actually not being fast enough to get cross formation. Also, like in round one, I had Bear Force One. I love Bear Force One, but boy, did they just choke on, like, this is me being a good sport. He moves. I have Bear Force One, two full units of bears, and I'm ambushing both units because he's playing just this massive Menoth swarm, and I'm expecting a cloud wall, and I want to be able to ambush. The scenario is so wide. I want to be able to ambush. I want to get something juicy. It's coming my way. No way he can stop it. It's going down. Bear Force One all over someone's backside, and it happened. He had his cavalry come up like extreme flank. I mean, like comical extreme flank. Like, I mean, like I was almost in melee when I came on. So I charged. It was all five. And so I put my models on the table, and he's like, oh, crap. I totally forgot about those. And I'm like, how could you forget about Bear Force One? They're literally, like, basically sitting right there. That's the name of the list. And they're just sitting at the table where they're going to, like, you had to basically run the horses kind of past them almost. So I'm like, well, redo your cav. So he's like, well, crap, I can't really, like, he's so packed, he can't actually put his cavalry anywhere that Bear Force One can't get to. So, like, he ends up, so I get the full meal deal, all the bears, all over all the cavalry. I kill one cav, and that's it. And then the rest, not only did I not kill the rest, but they're, like, on, most of them are on four wounds each. So I was so schmoopy. I was just like, F this game. And then also, then he brought the fifth guy back, and I got to just choke on that. Like, normally that shouldn't happen, like, because of flank, the math just was, I was missing so many needing fours to hit. I was missing an unbelievable amount of fours to hit, which was ultimately my problem. So I guess whatever, but that was miserable. Once Bear Force One failed me, I was basically out on trolls.
So it's not that trolls are bad, it's just that Nigel does not enjoy playing them.
Bear Force One solves the problem of right. What I was complaining about, of like the breadth of footprint and being able to power to point in extreme locations. You know, they come at you like a spider monkey and you can't stop it. But then when they whiff, and boy, did they, Jesus, they whiffed. It was like an unbelievable game swing. Like,
just like your dice just pooped.
I was just hard. Like, yeah, I was just like, well, four's to hit. You know, four's to hit, and I'm pow 15 and then pow 14, 14. And their armor or whatever, 17, and then they go up to 19s or something. But it's like, but the charge attack alone should be almost killing them on dice. But I was like, whiff, 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 hit, whiff, whiff, hit, whiff. It was just like, holy crap. And then they just, yeah. And then also, so he's engaged. I'm like, well, it's not so bad. Bear Force One's engaging his whole unit of cav. So he's only coming back at me with his base attacks. And he proceeds to kill, like, just literally straight one-shotting, like, Bear One, get out of here. Handler, get out of here. Bear Two, get out of here. So, like, half the Bear Force One in response was killed. And they were under the Creel Stone. So it was just like, okay. Like, okay. And just, yeah. And I hate this game. So anyways, trolls are bad. KOR is good. You know what's really good is small base models with 14-inch rockets that cause people to Jesus flip tables. That's spectacular. And also Strakov. Strakov's great. Vlad 1.
Yeah.
Sorsha 1. Sorsha 3. Sorsha 2.
Yeah, but KOR.
Old
it.
Witch. Yeah. Just all good. Everywhere you want to be. It's just like MasterCard.
So the problem isn't with trolls. The problem is a Nigel troll, conversion function.
Yeah, they don't sync in the rift.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Perfect.
They're not compatible.
I don't know what you guys are saying.
That was a reference to a really bad movie.
Yeah.
In Pacific Rim, remember they have to have two pilots because like stupid nonsensical reasons, and then they have to be compatible in the rift, so they have to go on a dating.
I thought they needed two pilots because one was literally using the right and left arm, and the other one was doing the
no, because they move in unison. Remember?
Yeah, they had to move in unison, so they'd actually walk. If one's just doing the left side and one's doing the right side, if they're not moving in unison, it's going to be a disaster.
Why isn't it just one pilot though? Oh God. Anyway, yep.
Because never mind.
The actual.
You're trying to apply logic to a movie that was so utterly horrible.
Yeah.
That logic cannot be applied to it.
That was my favorite thing, though. Was it's just like, why? In every other giant robot thing forever, there's like one pilot.
Well, they were also generating enough kinetic energy to power the robot by just doing.
They were like jazzercising.
Yeah, they were
okay.
Jazzercising, exactly. So it takes two to power one of those guys.
My God, we should. Tap humans to...
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, the Matrix, they did that, so, yeah. You know, it was Matrix tech.
Yeah, also, God, I really wish I hadn't seen any of those movies, but the first.
Yeah. Yeah, The Matrix didn't wait for the prequels to hit you in the face. They just like, hey, how about instead of Empire, how about Turdpire? Anyways.
No, it was a sweet weekend. I had fun.
Good. Hope to have more of those.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to traveling. Actually, this was the other thing. So all of us, well, I don't know. I won't speak for Josh and Nick, but
you can speak for me.
Whenever you haven't played War Machine for 2 months, the idea of it is like mentally, it's an obstacle. Like, I've got to get my models out. I don't know the meta. What's changed? CID. It's like a big weight of crap, you know, and you're just like, I'm not excited about this. And then about by turn three of your first game, you're like, I'm having a pretty good time.
Yeah.
And like, I could do this more often.
That's why I went in with the lowest expectations possible, played a Storm Raptor, was like, there's no way I'm going to, like, win a game. Oh, hey, look, this is fun.
I went in with high expectations. I'm like, I hope I get the bye round one, and then I just coast to all the way to the top. I got the bye.
So you got the bye.
I got the bye,
the
and immediately choked
work.
On it. I just timed myself out. But it almost went exactly to plan. I drew it up perfect.
You're just the Gruz plan here.
Yeah, if I only knew the difference between a square and a rectangle and a circle. God.
Yep.
The worst part is I was like, I scored two. No, you don't. You need a beast in there. I'm like, wrong. I was like, call. I was so convinced. I was so proud of myself. I was like, oh, wait, never mind. Rules bad.
Yeah.
Man.
So what else do we have?
Yeah, that's probably enough trolls or bad talk.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They're the worst.
Huh.
They're not bad.
They're terrible.
We can about talk briefly about that con that we ran like 3 weeks ago, a month ago.
MomCon.
Was a good con?
Yeah. Banky won that whole thing.
Yep. Again.
I was going to talk about MomCon in the context of I didn't get to really do anything other than run the store. So it was nice to get my models out and play. Do some playing.
Yeah. Same, but not the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was pretty excited. I got to play Aristea finally at MomCon.
And you won. So you got most frags.
Yeah, I won like a little achievement prize, if you will, for most frags. That game is really good. Aristea is really good. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that was entertaining. Nigel, I think you and I kind of traded places. I was at the store Friday. You were at the store Saturday. And then Saturday night, after the big event was over, I got together with some of the players and we fired up some scrambles and such. So that was a lot of fun. I got to see caster draft kind of happen. I haven't seen that format yet. Not sure exactly how much I like it. There's some stuff in there that I think is really cool, and there's some stuff in there that I'm kind of scratching my head over, but I'm going to hold out judgment for.
I'm not going to.
For a later date, at least until I get a chance to play in one anyway.
I will summarize it right now. It is a sweet idea and concept, but it is one that requires a lot of forethought ahead of time for it to not be game breaking and miserable experiences, and I do not think Privateer Press put that forethought in mind.
So what you're saying is that you and I have to get together and create, like, we will rebuild it. We will make it bigger, better, faster, stronger.
Yeah.
And then we'll do this next year at MuseCon.
Yeah. Like, for example, a Convergence player had a Mat 12, Rat 12 caster. So, you know.
Well, isn't that part of the
tip of the iceberg.
Isn't that part of the draw for that format is to just have the most ridiculous things you can think of?
Yes, but four fun formats should still be fun games. They shouldn't just be, like, utterly game-breaking and therefore not fun.
Okay, that's fair.
That's my take. Like, yeah, you're like, oh my god, my cast is sweet, does all these stupid uber things,
think,
and then you play one
I
game
think,
and you're like, this is misery.
On one hand, you're kind of right. On the flip side, you're dead wrong. In that, the whole point of this format is that they can pretend they're playing 40K.
I guess, but yeah,
they're
sure.
Like, yeah, this is how it feels like when I like bring my whatever, Seaborn all goof list that like blows you off the back of the board on turn two or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, let that
yeah.
GW player in everybody
I guess.
Live and be free.
I'm looking more for like, what if I homebrewed a caster, homebrewed a caster, and it was like actually sweet, and then we got to play like four games with it.
It'd be like playing against Grimkin all the time, which is not exciting.
What?
I don't know crap about Grimkin. I don't want to have to learn some other guy's like custom homebrew crap. Yeah, it'd be like that's all Grim all the time. It's like the
one
same
one of them is Jason
thing.
Soul's homebrew, and then the other one would be mine.
Mm. Hmm.
Which is worse, Nigel?
Hmm.
Choose your next words very carefully.
The jury is out.
So,
I don't know. It felt like MomCon was a big success. I actually managed to I put in my brawler in the painting competition just because I didn't really have anything else going on, so I just put my brawler in. And he ended up placing, which I was really kind of surprised, but happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
There were some amazing models in that case. That yellow Draganovich or whatever Draganovich guy.
Yeah, the new Drago Dragora Dragovich.
Drago Dragora Gora actual name. Guy Dragon
God,
it's name.
So Drago Drada Dragovich. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
So stupid.
Yeah.
So that guy was in the case, and whoever I did not get a chance to see the artist who painted him.
That's because they weren't there.
Oh,
it was submitted remotely. Hence, yeah. I think it was DQ'd.
It was.
Oh, that's. I mean, it's sad that he couldn't be there. That model was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Such a good job. Yellow Kador is truly impressive. I got to admit, I never would have thought of that being a really cool color, but it was a really neat color range.
Yeah,
but there were a lot of other really cool models. The Best in Shea model was that was like a pirate piece with like it was like a chibi pirate piece with like glowing eyes and stuff.
Yeah, oh, that was the one that won.
It's from Super Dungeon Explorer.
Okay, that piece was awesome. Yeah. That was so cool. Like, and the guy who painted it had such a good control over light sourcing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He did such a really good job of putting the lighting where it needed to be, especially on the base. But it wasn't overpronounced, so it was very clean, and it just had this like really cool stony kind of ethereal, like creepy look to it. It was super cool. One of the coolest models and one of the coolest paint jobs I've ever seen. So I was glad to see that win. So
yeah,
there's a lot of really neat stuff on there.
The Alchemist team was pretty phenomenal looking. The one that got place and the best overall.
Yeah, yeah. No, that Alchemist team was beautiful.
Yeah.
Wonderful colors, like that guy just I mean it's
like
so cool
color theme from the 80s, which is like explosion of colors.
Yeah
Well, it every time I go to MomCon, you know, you can just tell how the first time around it was, you know, it was you know, you can just kind of tell, like the first time around it was people putting stuff in, you know, to kind of see and get feedback and see where they're at, and then mm-hmm. the second year around got a little better, and third year round, like the stuff in that case, like there's a lot of stuff that was in that case. It was really impressive. Chris Collins put in some of his Minoth models, which legitimately look very good. He has a steel and red color scheme. The blending on them was really good. The light sourcing was really good. So there were some of those that were in there. There was all kinds of really good stuff in there. So,
yeah.
And it's really cool to just kind of watch the genesis of that grow.
Of like a painting competition? Yeah.
Yeah. Because now, you know, it's you know, I'm looking at the stuff that was in there this year, and I'm thinking about what I'm painting on right now, and I'm like, I don't know if I get that far next year. Like, unless I legitimately up my game on a fundamental level, I don't think I make it to a medal next year. Not at the rate, because it is developing faster than my skills are developing to keep up with.
Yeah.
So, and that's really exciting. So,
I mean, so let me ask you a serious question though. You got a medal this year. You got a medal last year.
Yeah.
And you got a medal year one.
Yeah. Last year was for Horgul. Horgul.
And my Fire Eaters.
Oh yeah. Right. Right. Forgot about those.
Yeah. And year one, I didn't enter anything.
Okay.
Because honestly, like painting competitions really intimidate the hell out of me. So I didn't want to put anything in. So I didn't bring anything to put in, which was fine. And then last year I was like, okay, well I'm going to do it this year. You know, I pumped myself up and it's like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then, and year one, I was supposed to enter, a certain, fisherman team, for Guild Ball, but I'm an idiot and forgot them. And then this year I just entered him, that brawler. And then next year, like, I've got to have a plan walking in. Like, I'd better have a plan walking in because people aren't sitting around. People are getting a lot better than me.
Also, there were more Best in Shea submissions this year, which I was ecstatic about.
I think you might have a good shot at making it, though.
You should try to win Best in Shea. I'm just pitching that right now.
I was actually going to try. I reached out to a mutual friend of Brent and I's to see if he would let me paint his scar, because I was going to paint his scar 3. This was my big plan. So I reached out to him, and he's like, nah, he's like, I really want to paint this model myself. And I understand, because it's a big, like, centerpiece model for your army, and so you want it. Like, I understand why somebody wouldn't want someone else to paint that model, because you want it to gel with everything you've done. So totally makes complete sense.
I think you have a pirate boker, though, that you could probably go for that.
I am. So next year for Best in Shay, I'm going to submit the Brent bought me a Peach buy kit because I didn't get it. And I have the boker. And so next year I'm going to submit my boker in that. But I have an idea as to how I want to paint them. And I'm not quite sure how that works. Like, I'm still conceptualizing it. But I have some really cool ideas of, like, his spear being, like forged in fire. Like, I want to make it, like, iron, like, red iron hot. And then blending in and then giving a nice light source to the rest of the model. And I have some ideas how I want to do that. I haven't sat down and actually drawn the lines and tried to sketch it out and try and get a concept of where I want the colors to go and such. But I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm pretty not currently excited for next year's, but will be in like a month to
start. I'm already excited for next year's.
So I think we had like 135 people. I have the actual hard numbers like typed up on my computer, but it was a pretty good size con. And
yep, and we did it without any of that garbage 40K.
Yep.
Get out of here, Games Workshop.
Yeah, but hold on though. I have to ask. I don't have to ask. We can talk about this offline. Never mind.
We can just talk about it now.
I'm just kidding. No, a lot of people are clamoring. A lot of people are pressuring us to get Games Workshop stuff in there.
It was just Dan Sammons.
Yeah, mostly just Dan Sammons. Well, there was a few others, but Dan Sammons was schadenfreudianly harassing us relentlessly the prior months. Like, how many tickets have you sold? How many people are coming? Are you guys going to fold? Are you guys going to completely crater? You know, like, he was just so excited about the numbers being down, and they really weren't. And people can play. We actually don't have a problem with 40K or Games Workshop.
I agree.
It's just there's other conventions. Like,
there are so many 40K conventions.
Yeah, you can go play that wherever you want, whenever you want, basically, if that's what you're into. And yeah.
I mean, there's also a lot of War Machine conventions, right?
But that's what we enjoy. So that's what we're doing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I do want it to stay sort of mostly to games that we've played and enjoy. And also, I don't want to deal with 40K tables because they're 4x6.
Also, if we're going to go big, I'd rather go Magic and like make it a PTQ.
Yeah.
Or a Grand Prix.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, wow, yeah. That'd be...
Nope.
Grand Prix?
Nope.
That's something.
Nope. So, I am thinking about Star Wars Legion a little bit. We'll see if the game continues to exist or if it's dead in a year, so...
I think it's going to continue to exist. I think the game has shown like some significant promise swinging right out of the gate.
What I mean
kind of
is if it's going to have the Star Wars Armada situation where like everyone's like, whoa, Star Wars Armada. And then just like it's overshadowed way too much by like X-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, it does make sense. That's the fear I think that I have with it is they released Legion and then they released news that they're pulling out Star Wars X-Wing version 2 or second edition or whatever it is.
Yep.
And so I'm pretty excited about that. Like I have like all of waves 1 through 6 or 5 or something like that.
Sure.
And so if they go back and they fix a lot of stuff and make the game not a gigantically broken pile of plastic, then I'm in for it and I want to play it. I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. So far though, Legion swung. It came out of the gate and it's swinging hard. Like it's got a lot of people looking at it, and I got to play a little bit, and it's really good. And before we go, I have to say this. Oh God, so good! If you haven't had a chance, you need to check out Breachstorm.
Oh,
Breachstorm is that game. I played a demo of it. That game absolutely sucked me in. I love the mechanics. I love the way it works. I love the order system. It's like a simplified Infinity, but it has. It's like an Infinity crossover Guild Ball kind of mechanism structure in it, and it's really, really good. And I love the way orders are done. I love the way models operate. I love the damage grids. There's a lot of potential in that game, and I'm super excited. So you guys can – anybody, if they want to, can check it out at breachstorm.com. You can download, I think, the preliminary rule set and such. It's worth checking out, and you should absolutely check it out. The game is – very, very good. And if they keep keep it going along the lines that they've already built it to, I think that game's going to be a very, very popular game. And it plays on 3x3. Like, it plays well, it plays fluidly, it plays intelligently, and it feels like you have, like, a lot of cool different options that you can play, even on, like, a smaller 3x3 table. And so anytime you can take a miniatures game and you can kind of reduce its footprint so you can get more games in a smaller space kind of thing, I think that's really valuable. And I think they've done it without sacrificing the depth of that game. Now, I don't have the full version of it. I don't know all the rules. I don't know. So I could be speaking prematurely. So I don't want to sell a garden of roses and deliver you into thorns, as it were. But so far it smells pretty good. It looks pretty good. It's going to be fun. I'm definitely kickstarting it in August when it starts.
Hmm. All right, cool. Well, is that a cast?
That's about an hour
and a half.
I think
it is.
Yeah, I think it's so. I think we're gold.
Sweet.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I had a point, and then a thought, and then whatever, and then I lost it. So
a brain aneurysm.
Yeah, yeah. I've enjoyed being on this very special episode of 343.
I've enjoyed it as well.
You
guys,
343, exactly.
You guys are the best.
Yeah,
I know.
And I look forward to next week.
And trolls are the worst.
Trolls are the worst. We've learned some things today.
Yeah. Congrats again, Brent, on the qualifying.
Thank you. And it was great to play you again. First time in Mark III, I think.
I think so, considering I think I've played like 4 games. But yes. So.
Yeah. So congratulations to Brent. Congratulations to Mr. Benke for winning MuezzonCon.
Yep.
Congratulations to you for getting an award for MuezzonCon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, this was a cast. This is Crump.
Nigel.
Brent.
See you guys.
Awesome.
Bye. Thank you.